Hey, let's all stand and let's go to God's Word this morning. Did I tell you guys about the Army captain? This is where you say, no, do tell. Well, there was this Army captain that he was getting ready to go into combat, and he said to himself, you know, I need to go and make it right with God. So he went to his Catholic church, and he gets in line, and there's three guys ahead of him, and he overhears the priest in the first one. And the guy says, hey, Father, I've sinned, and I'm ashamed of myself, and I sinned three times this week, and please forgive me. And the father said, hey, say three Hail Marys and put a dollar in the offering plate, and we're good. The next guy steps up and says basically the same thing. Father, I've sinned. Forgive me. I sinned three times. The father said, put a dollar in the till and say three Hail Marys and we're good. The third guy does the same thing. Father, I sinned three times this week and I'm so sorry. What should I do? Say three Hail Marys and put a dollar in the till. You're good. So he gets up there and he sits down in the booth and he says, Father, I have sinned twice this week. I feel terrible about it. What should I do? And there was no response. Well, the priest had to use the restroom, so he ran off real quick, and he told the intern, he said, intern, you sit there and just be quiet. Don't say a thing. Just kind of say, mm-hmm. So he said, mm-hmm. And finally, the captain says, Father, what should I do? And he starts getting on his sergeant and captain voice. The intern couldn't take it anymore after about three of those. Father, what should I do? And finally the intern said, well, go out and sin one more time. Apparently they're going for three for a dollar this week. Oh, I like that one. All right. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Last week of the traction series, it says, for I am not ashamed, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, I've never been one that tried to put my faith in faith. Our faith has to be in Jesus Christ. And that means that there has to be some substance to our faith. Everybody say substance. You see, faith is the what? Of what? So there has to be some substance to our faith. What is that substance? What is the substance that we have to believe in our faith that takes us to the point of getting prayers answered, seeing God do things in people's lives? How we operate in our life? How do we become overcomers? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things, what? Not seen. So we're going to have some substance on some things becoming real that don't have substance yet. We have to start with hope. And we start with hope and we say, okay, this is not yet substance. It's not yet, it's not come together with molecules. It's not yet an element. But I got to have faith to believe that it can happen. 26 years ago, you would have been, if you were standing in the same spot you're at now, it would have been an open alfalfa field. Amen. So today, I want you to know that faith changes things. This week, we're going to talk about the best kind of traction you can get with God. It's not faith in faith, but Jesus inspired the author of the book of Hebrews to write that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. So we need to work on our faith. Amen. Not faith in faith, but faith in God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that as we come to you and we ask you to move in our lives, that we will obey what you talk to us about. We'll hear today's message and we'll receive it and accept some things into our heart and life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to see you all. Have a seat. Praise God. Prayer and faith. Everybody say prayer and faith. Prayer and faith give us the victory that overcomes the world, 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 says that it's victory. It's the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So prayer and faith give us the victory that overcomes the world. And you know what? It seems to me like today's generation has this propensity to want to quit. Seems like people are just quitting. You know, we're not going back to work like we should as a nation. We're not doing the things that we should do to overcome things in life. We're not saying the word of God like we should. I truly believe that we have to build our faith and begin to say to the world, you're not going to affect me, I'm going to affect you. And so, you see, we can defy, everybody say defy. We can defy the urge to quit. Quitting cannot become an option. Just like quitting on a marriage, quitting on a family, quitting in life, giving up. That type of thing doesn't equate well with me. I don't like quitters. I don't like it when people quit. It makes me want to say, how can we help you? How can we get this thing going again? Come be a part of things. Because quitters never prosper. Amen? Quitters never prosper. They're always quitting something. They're finding a way to quit. They're finding a way to give up. Nothing like knowing that you can overcome or win in life by having a good victory. Amen? It will stimulate people to higher levels than ever before. And when we know that our faith can overcome the world, the world's attack in our life, then why wouldn't we build our faith? Why wouldn't we exactly be in the place that where faith is being taught, where faith is being preached, and where I can exhibit my faith and learn my faith and then experience my faith given to someone else where they can be changed as well? Amen. So you see, we have to overcome the quit option. We have to overcome that quit option. We have to tear that department down in our life. Tear that down. And I was counseling with a man this week, and I said, you just got to give up and tear down with an excavator in your mind, the compartment in your mind, where you go to and you roll up that garage door like a storefront, and you take stuff out of it, and then you roll it back down, and it's excuses. It's the excuse compartment. It's the quit compartment. It's the I don't stack up big enough department. And we roll that garage door up, and there's many garage doors in our minds, they're compartments. We compartmentalize things as human beings. And we have to take an excavator to the one that says, I quit. You see, kids on my football team learn you don't quit on Coach Carlson. You don't quit because you'll develop a mindset of quitting in life. Amen? We don't quit. We practice, and sometimes we fail, but we don't quit because of a failure. We learn, and we move forward in life. Amen? If you quit because of failure, then you'll never prosper because of failure. It will one little failure, and we quit. I give up. Stick our little lower lip out, like my dad used to say when I'd stick mine out. He'd say, better put that thing away. A little birdie's going to come and poop on that thing. So I'd be like, I don't want no bird to poop. I mean, I saw the poop in the barn, man. I was like, I don't want no poop on my lip. See, the crazy thing about Christians is we have way too much of the quit world in us. The devil gives us enough of a win that's a sprint to the win. And listen, Christianity is a marathon. The world says, sprint, go get it as fast as you can. Just do it. Get everything you want while you're here, man. Just sprint it out. And they run the 100-yard dash, and we're out of gas because we're not training. We're not to be trained for that. We're to be trained for a marathon. Life is a marathon. We can't get all jacked up about the small things in life and get tripped up about them because we're in a marathon. We've got to learn how to pick our feet up. Amen? See, the world has tremendous quitting power. We need to quit being so sin conscious and start being righteousness conscious. It's a perspective. That might be one of the greatest points that I could give you today, and probably the one that I'll talk about least because I've got to stay on faith. But listen, faith doesn't operate very well when sin is talked of more than righteousness. Did you hear that, church? That's probably a deeper statement than you can handle right now, but you need to gather that thought, because if you're sin conscious, your faith won't work, because sin will tell you, you're terrible. You're evil. You're not good enough. And so that sin consciousness then overwhelms your mindset and your thoughts, and you say, I can't make it. But if you're righteous-minded, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I keep myself tuned on the Word of God. I keep my mind tuned in on what God has to say to me. He's never going to say to you, you're evil. You're no good. There's no way you can make it. He's always going to be the person in your mind, the mentor in your head, speaking the word of God, saying to you, you are an overcomer. Keep your faith strong. Your perspective will become, you know what? I guess I don't really care what the devil throws at me. Come on, Mr. Devil. I guess if you're going to throw stuff at me, throw stuff at me. But I'm going to overcome it every single time because I'm a majority with Jesus. Jesus and I are a majority, and you can't win over us. As long as I keep Jesus on track in my life and I keep my faith in Him, that God is number one, then I'm going to overcome everything you throw at me. So I don't sit at home wondering, oh, what's the devil going to come against us with now? Is it going to be the C word? Is it going to be the dementia word? Is it going to be the homeless word? Is it going to be out of work word? What is it going to be in my life? I don't worry about that. See, because He called me to do what I'm doing. Therefore, it's His job to take care of me. Amen. That means that we trust in Him more than anything else. We can't trust in our paycheck. We got to trust in God first and give Him all of our life. He created us, as I've said in this series many times. He created us. He owns us. He owns everything. Who is he who overcomes the world? 1 John 5:5. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You want to overcome the world's attack on you? To where you catch yourself going, man, I'm sprinting just as hard as I can sprint. And I get to the finish line, and then it's like starts over again. I just got to sprint some more. And I'm just running and running and running. And I never really seem to get caught up. That's because you're running a race of the world. Faith will tell you, you know what? You still got to work hard. You still got to hustle. You still got to be a go-getter. But it's the race that you're running is the wrong race. Run the race with God, the race of faith. That says, you know what? I don't care. Come hell or high water. Come a pandemic. Come an endemic. Come a 2008 recession again. Am I going to participate in that more than I have participated in what God has put in my heart? And the perspective for me is, I'm an overcomer. I'm going to overcome everything that comes at me. Pitch whatever you want to pitch at me. And God's not going to say, strike three, you're out. He's going to say, keep swinging. Keep swinging, buddy. Keep going. Quit quitting. Just because the world says strike three, you're out, doesn't mean you're playing the game of baseball with your life. That means you get swing after swing after swing. Keep swinging. Swing for the fence. Swing with a bunt. Swing however you want to swing. Swing for a first base. Run. That doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to God. Just begin where you are and keep swinging with God. Amen? Keep putting the word to work in your life, because when you quit, you lose. The clock runs out when you quit. Time's up. It's over when you quit. You got to start over again. And then you have to, starting over is harder than keeping going. Amen? It's always better to work things out, men. It's always better to work on the marriage, to work on relationships with kids that are away from the Lord, wives and husbands. It's always better to stay in the, as my mentor used to tell me, stay in the buggy. Don't get out. Stay in the wagon. Stay in the wagon. Stay in the saddle, because you swing over and you put your foot on the ground. Now all of a sudden, you're on your own. But stay in the saddle. Now you got thrust. Now you got power. Now you got authority. So stay in the saddle with God. People that quit on life have probably already quit on God. Did you hear that? Alignment again with one of the most important things that you'll hear from me today. People that quit in life have probably already quit on God because they don't have the propensity to fire up and keep going and go on through. They have a propensity to quit. An incomplete has become okay. It's not okay. Because God's either going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, or He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Amen? It's going to be that simple. It's black and white. I wish it was different. I wish He would say, well, the people in the gray areas, you can all come into the house of God as well, to heaven as well. But He's going to say, no, you got to be black or white on this thing. You got to be all for me or you're all against me. You're either for me or you're against me. So we got to be all for God. Amen? And it's not that hard. It's really easy. It's really actually kind of fun. It's kind of funny to see what God can do when He takes someone's life and changes them, and they are willing to be changed, and their life becomes on fire for God. It's just amazing to see what happens when someone then just makes changes in their life and then they stick with it. And people around them say, man, what has happened to you? You're not the way you used to be. Yeah, I don't go out and do things that doesn't match up with my walk with God anymore. And that'll be the first change, and the world will tell you, come on, man, are you holier than thou or what? And in your heart, you'll just say, no, I'm not. I just serve the risen God. And I know where I want to be. This is a marathon, not a sprint. See, the world manipulates and fixes things so that you can never really win. Did you know that? The world fixes it so that you can never really win. It's like going to a gambling parlor and you think you're going to win the spin game, and somehow or another you always lose. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, before I got Julie saved, she always used to take me to Vegas, you know. What? It's on her, right? But you know, when you're up by like, when we were young kids, I would be like up like $80 at the roulette table. And I was thinking, man, this is awesome. I'm going to turn it into 160 in one move, all in on black. You lost. Sorry, landed on double aught. One chance, two chances out of how many? And all of a sudden, everything that you had fun with is gone. Yeah, but we had fun doing it. Yeah, but you just lost $80. And plus your investment that was there. So you see, it's just like that with the devil. You can never really win. There's always a catch. There's always a little pulled punch. There's always a pulling of the string. Yeah, but you didn't realize and you didn't read the small print. And so God wants you to know today that he's not going to manipulate you. The God that I serve and the God that I believe I am to reveal is the God that is straight up with you. And I like it that way. I want him to be truthful with me because I can handle the truth. But I can't handle when I get out on an iceberg and it starts melting on me and I see that things are melting away. And pretty soon I was sold a bill of goods that isn't any good. Now I'm on an iceberg that's floating, and it's now called an ice cube. And I'm feeling like now I'm sinking. I'm going down. If I'd have just believed when things were better, I could have hopped off of that, what now I believe is now an iceberg, and I could have hopped off onto solid land, and I could have been walking with God. Instead, I believed the lie, and I ran the sprint instead of running the marathon. Amen? Barnabas ran with Paul until the Bible says they had no small disagreement. That means they had a large disagreement. They had a feud and they had a fight. I'm not saying which one's right and which one's wrong. But you don't really read of Barnabas again because he quit the plan. I don't know if he quit with God. I mean, I think one time I read where I did hear something about Barnabas again. But man, it would have been great to have heard that, hey, you know what? Barnabas decided to go part ways with Paul, but he stuck with the plan with God. Amen? And he had a plan, and he went with God, and he did some great things. Him and Paul couldn't agree on this, but man, they had some great stuff going. Silas hooked up with him, and that's who we know that Paul finished with. You see, you stick with God's plan. You stick with who God is to you and how he leads you and guides you. Endurance. Everybody say endurance. Endurance means to remain in the race with a firm position to not quit, even when experiencing setbacks. To tolerate, I like that word, tolerate, to tolerate and remain patient through times of suffering. You know what? Because it's a marathon, I'm going to tolerate a few little, you know, I got to slow down here. Come on, owning a 70 Pontiac that just is a GTO that kind of sits a little bit low. You got to slow down going through the parking lot with the speed bumps. Amen? I mean, you can't fire that baby off and spin him off in the Kmart parking lot. I guess now it'd be Walmart. Because what the speed bumps, and you hit those things at 50, you're going to tear some stuff off. And in life, it's the same way. Sometimes we have to just slow down a little bit to go over them speed bumps. To slow down, and God is saying to us, he puts some of those speed bumps in our life, and he says, slow down just a little bit, Rick. Because I don't want you to miss something that you could see that you would have missed totally if you'd have been going 80 through this area. Slow down. There's a time to go 80 out in the open road. But there's also part of the marathon is you got to slow down. Because in the first 5 to 6 miles, if you don't slow down just a little bit and get into a pace of a marathon, having never been there, I read about it. Thank you for that good laughter, Randy. Appreciate that. Having never been there, I read about it, and there's this thing called hitting the wall. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever hit a wall in life? And you're like, I can't recover from this. Because I tried to run a marathon too fast, and I ran out of gas. I spent my gas in the first 5 miles. Yeah, I'm way ahead of everybody else because they're on eco. They set a pace, and I put it on go fast, really fast, and now I'm out of gas. And so I'm sucking wind, and you hit the wall. See, God loves people that hits the wall, but that's a speed bump, and he says, now you got to slow down. Now you got to get some pace to yourself. Get gathered. Get healed up. Get fixed up. Yeah, there might be some people that you think are going past you, but you're not running against them. You're not running a race against someone else. You know what you're running a race for? Your faith. Paul said, I ran a good race. I fought a good fight. You know what the fight is all about? I think the fight is to keep our faith. Church, that's what I think the fight is about, is keep your faith in God. Because quitting, it just can't be an option. So we have to fight through. Would you quickly turn with me to Luke chapter 21? This isn't part of the notes, Lindsay, but turn with me to Luke 21. I just feel like God would have us to go over here and look at this. The Lord put this in my heart this morning. Luke chapter 21 and verse 29. It says, Jesus says to us, and I just want to give you kind of where I believe the times are that we live in now. In verse chapter 21, verse 29, it says, he spoke to them in a parable. So a parable means something that is true, but is parallel to the story and the message that he wants them to get. So it comes parallel to, so it's a parable, to the fact that he's going to share with them after that. So he tells them an illustration, then he gives them the fact. So he says, look at the fig tree and all the trees when they are already budding. You see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. Luke 21 and verse 29. It says, when they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. So the generation that's alive when the last days begin and we start seeing some of the telltale signs of the last days, when that starts to begin, then that generation on earth will by no means pass away. Then he says, verse 33, heaven and earth will pass away. We're learning that in our real heaven class. The heaven and earth, this heaven and this earth will pass away. And God's going to make a renewed earth and a renewed heaven that will descend. And it will come down after all things are complete. And then he says, but take heed to yourselves, brings us back to today. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life. The Greek word that is used there for all three of those events in life, carousing, weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, is the Greek word surfeiting. Surfeiting, which means taking on more than you can do and doing more than you're capable and qualified to do with a lot of weight on your shoulders and trying to run your race at the same time. Like having three or four people piggybacked on top of you and you're trying to run a race with all that. It's like information working too much. Being a part of too many things. Not putting God first. Surfeiting. Everybody say that with me. Ready? Surfeiting. I know that means a lot to you. But it means don't be weighed down with carousing, which really means running to and fro, doing things at a rapid rate. Carousing, drunkenness, meaning out of your normal mind, and drink. It doesn't say on the liquor store wall spirits for nothing. It's not the Holy Spirit. You're not going to the liquor store to get Holy Spirit. you're getting a different spirit. You follow, you know, a spirit that helps you do things that you wouldn't normally do if you were not in your right mind. I'm not saying don't ever have a beer. I'm not saying that at all. But the Bible says a lot about balance. Amen? And then he says, in the cares of this life, and that day would come upon you unexpectedly. That people will be like in the days of Noah, just going, doing about their business, marrying and burying and all kinds of life going on. But they didn't pay attention to God. And one day when Noah, after 120 years, prepared the ark, it was all done. He had preached. Could you imagine preaching for 120 years and getting no one saved but your own family? Eight people. That's a terrible preacher. Sometimes I thought, maybe I'm a terrible preacher. For years, I was like, man, maybe I'm bad. But those were tough years, man. Think about old Noah. I want to talk to him about what he was drinking. Because he drank something more than Red Bull to have staying power for 120 years and never gave up on the message of God. Amen? I mean, it's one thing to move to Wellington 26 years ago and start the church. It's another thing for 100 more years, essentially, and still preach, and no one sitting in the congregation. Could you imagine? We'd be like, let's go, let's quit. These people are all heathens. Let's go out to Briggsdale or something. You know? Becomes our fault. We put it on us. And really, you know what? God is saying, just have some staying power, because if you stick with it, I mean, Billy Graham was God's third choice. Did you know that? You read his biography. He says, I think I was God's third or fourth, maybe 30th choice. But he stuck with it. And he had the Billy Graham Evangelical organization that has changed the world. You say Billy Graham and you know exactly what's happening with the conversation. The last two verses say, for that day, which is coming unexpectedly, will come as a snare on all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Listen, church, there's a snare that's set out there. And when we carouse and run around and do all kinds of drunkenness and we're busy with the world and the world overcomes us, we're putting our head in like a snare. And all of a sudden we trip the trigger and pretty soon we're hung. Now listen, if it's before that day, God always says, I'll make a way out for you. I'm your savior. Call upon me and I'll save you. But folks, we don't want to be caught in the snare and away from God when that day comes. Amen? Watch, therefore, he says. I like how he finishes it. Jesus is the greatest preacher in the world. Amen? Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and that you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man without shame. Wouldn't that be something? Stand before Jesus. Oh, yeah, I did get in a few snares. I did make some mistakes. I did have some failures. But because my faith was strong, I was able to overcome it. No one's saying you can never fail. I'm just saying when you do, repent and turn to God. And he'll just snip that little wire snare right off your neck. And then he'll say, now what'd you learn from that, Rick? What would you get out of that? Okay, I got to focus more on you, Lord. I got to keep my tongue. I got to keep my heart. I got to keep my life. I've got to push more towards righteousness than being so sin conscious and participating in sin. So endurance means that you remain in the race. You keep up that firm position. I'm not going to quit. You see, the just, it says, shall live by faith. Look at verse 37. Let's go back over to Hebrews chapter 10. Are you here this morning? Amen. I am. I'm going to get myself saved here if I don't watch it. In Hebrews chapter 10, you see, the reason the author says for you have need of endurance is because, you know why? Listen to this. There will be a struggle and there will be a fight, and you'll need patience and you'll need to wait on God, and you'll need to wait sometimes. Listen to this now. You'll need to wait on others as well. You'll need to wait on others as well. And sometimes waiting for someone else to get it. As a shepherd, I don't want anyone left behind. But being left behind is the choice. I can't quit. I can't stop people from making that choice. But I can do everything in my power as your pastor, the rest of the board, the rest of the church, all these people. if there's any quit in you, we'll be there for you. That's what a body is for. And so look in verse 37. It says, for yet a little time, let's pick up in verse 36. Let's go to 35. He says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Therefore, he says, do not cast away your confidence because it has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Isn't that wonderful to know? He says, you have need of endurance. Say that with me. You have need of endurance. He's saying, don't cast away your confidence. Confidence and faith here are the same word in the Greek. It's the same word. Don't throw away your faith. Because if you throw away your faith, if you quit, listen to this, if you quit feeding your faith, you're on a path to quit. If you quit putting the Word of God inside of you, you're on a path to quit. It can't happen just at church. It has to happen at home. It has to happen in small groups. It has to happen when things are going good. Because when things turn bad, you want to have that safety net. You want to have that built around you. People that love you, a pastor that loves you and cares about you. Now let's read this on. He says, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, oh man, he says, my soul has no pleasure in him. I think for about 10 seconds it hurts the heart of God. When we say, I quit, I'm going to quit, you know, I'm just not going to go to church anymore, it's too hard, I don't have time, I got to take the kids here, I got to do this, I'm going to go fishing, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to spend some me time and get away from, you know, I'll just let that go. That is such a lie from the devil. That is such a lie, church. And it's happening throughout the body of Christ, I see it. In a time when we should be pushing into God, some people are pulling back. You see, the just shall live by faith. How does my faith go from faith to faith? Let me just give you four quick things. Number one, reading and hearing God's word. We talk about that one a lot. But number two, confessing God's word. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So if you want to stating, let me just read that to you. Stating something you believe to be true, declaring something you know to be true, and praying out that which you believe God will make true is what I want you to confess. Did you get that, church? That's huge. Stating something you believe to be true. And then the second part of confession is declaring. It's stating one thing, but declaring it, it's coming out now as from the heart, the abundance of the heart. When you first state it, it might be like you're reading it. You're stating this thing. And then when you declare it, you're saying it to someone else. Hey, this is what I believe to be true. I'm making a declaration. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. For the life I now live, I live by faith in the flesh, in the Son of Man, the Son of God. That's what I believe. I'm making a declaration statement. And the third thing is that you're going to pray out that which you believe God will make true. That means you've meditated on it. You've said, God says, you know what? Now you stated it. And now you're getting it into your belief system. Now start declaring it that you believe God's going to do it and start praying it out until you see it happen. Amen? If you quit anywhere in the middle of that process, you don't get your prayer answered. You quit anywhere in the middle of that stuff, and that's what happens when people get tired of declaring. They get tired of stating, and they don't hang in there. Aren't you glad Noah didn't quit? He kept building that ark. And after 120 years, his family got on, and now we are all related to Noah, every one of us in this room. The third thing would be being led by the Holy Spirit. It's very important that you be led by the Holy Spirit. Quickly, I won't have you turn there, but Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 14, 15, and 16. It's very important. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons. You know, I never made any of my children feel like, you know what, you're not a Carlson. Get out of my house. You're not a Carlson. You can't come here anymore. No, they've, that was a bad statement to make because then they sometimes move back home. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But you want to give them a chance. You want to give you want them to come back home. You want to be able to hold them grandkids, and then you want to see them restart and get out on life and get a good leg up. And so being led by the Holy Spirit, it tells us that we're a child of God. When we're led by the Holy Spirit, He's going to lead us. He's not going to lead you into condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus and walk not according to the world, but according, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The fourth thing that I would say to you today is obey the Scriptures in conjunction with the leading of the Holy Spirit. So as He leads you, then you obey. You see how one goes to the next. Each one of these points goes to the next one, and it's a walk. It's a faith to faith, to faith to faith, to faith to faith. You keep walking. You never walk out of faith. You never say, well, you know what, God, hold on. All that seems to work, but I'm going to stop having faith. I'm going to walk by my flesh now for a while. See, we don't plan that. The devil deceives us into that. Just the same way he did with Eve. Did God really say that? God doesn't want you to be like him. So we have to have faith to faith to faith to faith. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. Amen? It's time to get back to, I don't know who that's for, but it's time to get back to God. It's time to get back to your faith. It's still there, right where you left it. It's right there. Just go back and pick it up and start walking with God again. And this time have a mindset, I am not going to have the urge. I'm going to have the urge, but I'm going to defy it to quit. Don't quit. Stick with the plan. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, I have fought the good fight. Everybody say that with me. I fought the good fight. You see, you can't fight my fight. I can't fight your fight. You put on my clothes, you don't look like me. You'll wear my clothes, but you don't look like me. I don't think I'm going to eat your ribs tonight. You can cut your hair like me, but you won't look like me. I can cut my hair like you, and I won't look like you. You can come ahead, Sheila. You have to run your race. And you have a wonderful race that God gave you. Be the best interpretation of God's mindset of who you are, that He created you. Be the best rendition of you that God created you to be. If I could say that to the graduates every year, be the best you that God made you to be. And that will be with close relationship with Him. Always having a propensity to have Him close to you. But if you try to run the person next to you, if you try to run their race, it's going to be a fight like you would never believe. If you want to pray like them, you want to talk like them, you want to act like them, you want to have an accent like them, then you're going to be a bad rendition of them. When God wants you to just shrug that off, fling your hair back, and just be you. It felt so good to me when I left Rocky Flats and I was trying to climb the ladder of success and I was trying to be this big wig. Oh, man, I beat my chest. I don't have a degree in this. I'm not smart in nuclear engineering or anything like that. God's raising me. I was just trying to brag on God and everything else, but it was really bragging on me. And finally, when He said, Rick, you're done with that. You were supposed to not ever go there because at 18, you didn't go to the Bible school like you were supposed to. You quit on God because it was going to get, come on now, it's not too tough. You can't quit because it's too tough. We can't tell anybody it's just too tough, I can't finish. Yes, you can. I was so glad when I left there and I said, honey, I'm going to quit. I'm going to leave this job behind and I'm going to go be a pastor like I was supposed to be when I knew I was supposed to be that. I'm going to go be a pastor. And with everything that I charge forward with in my life, I'm going to charge forward with God. I may upset some people because I'm going to raise the standard. The standard has to be hit with God because I don't want people to miss heaven. Heaven is worth it. It will be worth it all when you see Jesus. I keep singing that all week long. It will be worth it all when you see Jesus. When you see Him in His glory. When you see Him come walking out and we're sitting there maybe having some lamb at the Lamb's Supper. And you see Jesus come walking into the room. Maybe with the nail prints showing just to you know it's your Jesus. Heaven will be worth it. All the toils on this life are behind us, and it will be worth it when you see Him, just seeing Him. The crown that was given to you when you went in and was at the judgment seat of Christ, that crown that was given to you for being saved, for saving others, for serving and giving, and being a part of the body of Christ, all those five crowns that are in the king, the Bible says we will cast our crowns down because what we earned on earth won't be worth seeing Jesus when He appears. Hallelujah. Could we have the last slide, Lindsay? Because I forget what it is. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Don't you ever forget that. As you're walking out your life and you run your race for who you are, don't let anybody tell you, oh, you're doing it wrong. No, you're not doing this right. If you're following God, you'll know it in your heart. You might make a few mistakes. But who in us in this room can cast the first stone on that one? Amen? Stand with me if you would. By the way, if you do like my haircut, you can talk to Brittany in the back right back there. She cut my hair for me. If you do like my haircut, you can go get one of these too. Oh, man. Instead of challenging you with an altar call, I'll challenge you with this. John in 1 John 5 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue," everybody say continue, "and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Now this is the confidence. Remember, we're not supposed to throw away our confidence because you have great need of it. Here's why you need your confidence. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then the things that we ask for and the petitions we seek, we will have what we've asked of Him. That's the kind of faith I want to have. I don't want to shortcut the process. I don't want to make it easy. I want to make it God's way. And that may not be the easiest way. Hallelujah. Let's walk with God, because I promise you, it'll be the best way. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Is there anyone here that would say, "Pastor, today I need to make it right with God"? That's me. Thank you, sir. I've been praying for you anyway. Hallelujah. Praying for you, brother. Anybody else need to make it right with God? Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Love you, man. Love you, young man. I see your hand too. Thank you, son. Hallelujah. Been praying for you this week. So far, three hands and three Holy Spirit prayers this week on three men, three young people. Hallelujah. Anybody else before we close? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we pray over these individuals that slipped up their hands. Three or four or five of them this morning, Lord, that have walked with You and talked with You, but Lord, now they just want to get things right with You. So Heavenly Father, I just pray for them in Jesus' name that they'll have that staying power. Oh, Lord, help us to keep our mind on You. Help us to keep our heart with You. And Lord, as we rededicate our life and our heart to you, help us, Lord, to take that next step and just walk with you all the days of our lives. We thank you for this day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hey, God bless you. Have a great week. I think this is maybe the last week for some connection groups, or maybe a couple more weeks left to go. But make sure you get to your connection group. Amen. God bless you.